Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Little ones going to the children's church, you are dismissed. You may go there. And as Craig said, if you didn't happen to get a cup, we would invite you to slip off to the foyer and grab a cup. We will have communion together at the close of our service. Want to welcome you online, those that are watching by Facebook, and welcome all of you here this morning. It is Pentecost Sunday. And while I am not going to speak to the scriptural portion of that, it is noteworthy that it's Pentecost Sunday. And I want to just take another moment to pray and invite the spirits moving amongst us. So let's take a moment. Father, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the event we call Pentecost. Thank you for the pouring out of your spirit upon humanity that day. Father, we pray, even though when we trust Christ as Lord, your Holy Spirit takes up residence within our hearts, Father, we pray on this Pentecost Sunday, pour out your Spirit on us again. Do it again, O God. Spirit of God, have your way in our services, have your way in our lives, have your way, O God, in America. Father, there are many sick. Some are here today. They're not feeling well. They have these ailments, these afflictions, these residual problems. Father, we pray for those on the prayer focus, those that are not on the prayer focus, we pray, touch bodies. Strengthen and heal in the name of Jesus, we pray. And as Craig has prayed, Father, there are many that are suffering today because of the loss of loved ones. There has been much loss these last months. Comfort them, Father, like only you can. Guide and direct us as we have come to worship you. Guide and direct the other churches in our region. May you, O God, be glorified. Not only today as we gather for this brief hour, but may you be glorified in our very lives 7 days a week. Lead us by your Spirit now, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going back to Romans 13. It's been a while since we have been in Romans. Matter of fact, it's been before Graduate Sunday, before Teen Challenge, before Charles shared. So it's been a while since we've been in Romans 13. We did look at the first few verses in Romans 13 regarding what the Apostle Paul said about regarding authorities and our responsibility to those authorities. Do you remember? Does anybody remember that? Thank you. Two of you did. That's awesome. Well, we did look at Romans 13, 1 and 2, our obligation to the authorities and how authorities, per Paul's words, there is no authority except from God. We looked at that. And I also quoted from J. Vernon McGee. I'm going to do that again for two reasons. One, it's noteworthy to apply to those verses, but also to apply what I'm going to say to us today when I reveal to us some statistics, even about church leaders. I quoted J. Vernon McGee before, based on Romans 1 or 13, 1 and 2, and I said this from the late J. Vernon McGee. I quote, "We are going to see that the believer has citizenship in heaven, but he also is a citizen of the world down here, which gives him a twofold responsibility." And then here's the important part that we noted that time. McGee said, if there is a conflict between the two, our heavenly citizenship and here, if there is a conflict between the two, always our first responsibility is to the Lord in heaven. Amen? Keep that in mind when I get to some statistics in a moment. We're going to look at the second half of 13 today. There's really two topics there. And because I want to take time for communion, I don't know if we'll get through this all or we'll revisit again next week. I'm not sure. We'll let the Lord lead. But there are two topics here in the second part of this chapter. The first one is love, and the second one is the one I want to really talk about a lot today and maybe even tomorrow or next week some more. That topic is putting on Christ. So here's what he said in Romans 13. I'm picking it up at verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's a powerful statement. Jesus said similar things, and I want you to just ponder that, but I am going to move on. Then in 11, Apostle Paul said this, and do this, knowing the time, that now, he's talking to the church, then as well as now, he says, knowing this, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, simply meaning that we are closer to the return of Christ than we were yesterday or when we claimed him as Lord. And he goes on and said, the night is far spent. In other words, we're drawing near. This was, you say, Jim, well, that's 2,000 years ago. Well, we're a whole lot nearer now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And so then he gives us all this directional stuff, these action verbs, if you will. He's speaking to the church. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. In other words, walk like you've stepped into the light. That's what he's telling the church. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's pretty good advice. I've entitled this message today, Putting on Christ, for several reasons. First of all, this is what followers of Christ are supposed to do. We are supposed to put on Christ. Say, Jim, what does that even mean? We are supposed to follow the teachings of Jesus. We are supposed to be so in love with him, filled with his spirit, that we are actually obedient to what he said. Putting on Christ. You say, well, Jim, I said a prayer once. And for most of us, a prayer of repentance and crying out to God for salvation and faith in his Son is the beginning of the journey. It's not the end of the journey. Putting on Christ is our lifestyle. The second reason I've titled put this title today, Putting on Christ, and want to address this topic is because it seems like masses today are not putting on Christ, even in the church. You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, we call ourselves Christians in America. 66, 68% of Americans, we call ourselves Christians. But it seems following the world is easier and more popular than following Jesus. We haven't put on Christ. And the other reason that I've entitled this Putting on Christ today, as followers of Jesus, we are supposed to be students of this. And if we haven't put on Christ, and this is not a regular part of our lives, it needs to be. Before I refer back to these verses, allow me to quote an article that I read from Christian Post on May 17th. This article was also in the Christian Headline News one day prior to that. That first slide, please, Kristen. The title caught my attention. Here's the title. Only 37% of pastors hold a biblical worldview. That got my attention. Has it got yours, friends? Do you know what a biblical worldview is? I look at the world through the lens of the Bible. The Bible is my deciding factor on how I look at this subject and that topic and that. The Bible is my guide. Only 37% of pastors hold a biblical worldview, this article said. A majority, and I quote, a majority of Christian pastors in the United States do not hold a biblical worldview. According to surprising new research from pollster George Barna, who says the data shows a spiritual awakening is needed just as desperately in the pulpit as it is in the pews. This survey, released May 12, Thursday, by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, shows that only 37% of pastors in the United States hold a biblical worldview. And broken down, they find in their research, this is a brand new study, this is brand new research, broken down, it says, of that gleaning, of that research, 41% of senior pastors hold a biblical worldview. That's 4 in 10 of senior pastors. The rest do not. And it gets worse. According to their poll and their research, less than one-third of associate or assistant pastors, 28%, have a biblical worldview. And it gets worse. That's 28%. When it comes to teaching pastors, 13%, and children and youth pastors, 12% hold a biblical worldview, the data found. Are you still with me, friends? Are you still hearing what he said? If 12% of America's children's pastors are the only ones that have a biblical worldview, that means 88% of youth and children's pastors do not. Do you know what they will teach the children? Something that is contrary to the Bible. Are you awake this morning, friends? The quote from Barna says this, and then I'll move on. This is another strong piece of evidence that the culture is influencing the American church more than the Christian churches are influencing the culture. That is exactly what I've been saying for years. Not that I'm that bright, I just know what reality is. I have said it this way: if we will not let the Word of God dictate and form us into the people of God, into the image of God, the world will form you and I into its image. That's what's happening. Now, probably by this point, you're thinking, what in the world has that got to do with putting on Christ? Putting on Christ means to the Christian who claims Christ as Lord to walk as Jesus walked. Putting on Christ means to step away from who I used to be in the world and start walking in the fullness of the Spirit, in the image of God, in the Son of God, to the teachings of God. Putting on Christ whether that's pastor, priest, or parishioner, means to walk as Jesus walked. So if I, as a church leader, do not even subscribe to all of the Word of God as truth, or if I, as a pastor, do not feel that some parts of the Word of God are relevant today, are perhaps out of date, and perhaps I'm allowing the societal norms to dictate what I believe and who I am, how in the world can I tell you to put on Christ if I don't believe in the Bible? Purely hypocritical is what it would be. How in the world can Paul or Jim or the next pastor address what Paul addresses here when he talks about sexual sin and drunkenness and lust and envy and fighting in the church and bitterness and pride and all that stuff? How in the world can I address any of that if I don't believe the Word is relevant? Are you hearing me this morning, friends? How can I challenge us to put on Christ if I don't believe it's true? 37% of American pastors have a biblical worldview. In other words, 37% only will use the Bible as their guide to determine if what society says is right or wrong. The other 63%, I'm going with society. Are we awake this morning? You can't put on Christ and still walk in the world. Amen? The Word says you are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new when you put on Christ. And that's why he said, step into the light and start walking in the newness of the light and set aside that darkness that you used to be part of. And if I am not a pastor with a biblical worldview, why would I even challenge you with that? I wouldn't, because the culture would form my opinions and dictate what I say more than the Word of God. Paul said, cast off the works of darkness to the church. That's putting on Christ. Stop sinning. Stop doing what you used to do outside of Christ. When you come to Christ, you have been born anew. You have been blessed with the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul said, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's what the church is supposed to do. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. And then he lists those things that I read already. No longer in revelry and drunkenness. No longer in lewdness and lust. No longer in strife and envy. In other words, fighting with each other. Cast that stuff off. Coveting stuff, envy. Stop all of that, he says. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that last little phrase, man, I could go into that for a while. I don't have time. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. Making no provision for the flesh. The world is all about, if it feels good, do it. That's not what Paul said. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Putting on Christ is what we are called to do. Putting on Christ is what the church is challenged to do. And I submit to us, if the church would have put on Christ in the last 50 years in a whole lot better manner, and I make up the church just like you do, America would not be in the mess we're in today. The church has not put on Christ the way Paul called us to do. We have not stood up for the truth. We have allowed sin to infiltrate even the very church houses of America, and we have looked the other way. That's not putting on Christ. I'm not talking about being judgmental and hypocritical and mean-spirited, but putting on Christ is a brand new day. And that's what Paul challenges the church to do. And if I don't even believe it, how am I going to challenge you to it? That scripture, 12, 13, and 14, seems fairly clear to me. Does it seem fairly clear to you? It seems fairly clear to me. Either we're going to be obedient to the teachings like this that Paul and Jesus and Peter and James and John have laid out in Scripture for us because we love the Lord, we have surrendered to Christ, we have put on Christ, and we have a biblical worldview, or we're going to do what's right in our own eyes. And that's exactly what they did in the Old Testament. That's exactly what's happening now. And that's exactly why we're in the mess that we're in. Because too oftentimes, even in the church houses of America, we have done what's right in our own eyes and we have not put on Christ. Let me pull this together. I'm not going to get done because I'm going to go to communion here in just a moment. But let me say this. In an interesting article in Decision Magazine, do some of you get Decision Magazine? It's a good magazine, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. In the last article, there's a article there written by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He addresses some of these same concerns, some of these same issues. The title of that article is Making the Narrow Door Wider. Are you still with me, friends? Jesus said, enter in at the narrow gate. Because broad is the gate and wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on that way. You remember the story? You remember Jesus? Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Say, this means yes, I remember. Work with me, friends. This article is talking about the same things. When Dr. Erwin Lutzer writes, society is making the narrow door wider. Even the church is trying to incorporate in progressive Christianity and non-biblical worldview to make that door wider. Second slide, you got that for me. Here's what he said. Progressive Christianity interprets the Bible through the lens of culture. It does not critique the culture through the lens of the Bible. That's exactly what I was talking about. Last slide, then we'll get ready for communion. If the Christian church today, friends, is going to allow the culture to dictate who we are in Christ, we will always be more palatable to the world. Now, let me stop right there and explain myself. If the Christian church, we who claim Christ as Lord, if we are going to allow perhaps the latest Supreme Court decision or whatever else has been decided in culture or society to dictate who we are in Christ, we will always be more palatable to the world. But we will be walking in disobedience to Christ. Are you with me? Culture today is saying a lot of things that are contrary to the Word of God. We have even made laws that are contrary to the Word of God. And if that culture begins to affect and influence and determine who we are in the church, then we will be more palatable to the world. Why? Because the world is comfortable in sin. But we will always be in disobedience to Christ and His Word if culture is determining our direction. I'm trying to finish so I can find a place to quit here and we go to communion, but I'm not quite done. I'll end here and start here next week. How about that? If I or any other pastor is teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, perhaps being influenced more by culture than the Word of God, you need to question that teaching. Are you hearing me? If I am teaching you something that is contrary to Word, do I make mistakes? Yes. Am I sometimes wrong? Perhaps. But if I am intentionally teaching you something that is contrary to the Word of God, you need to question that teaching. And if I or any other such church leader continues to press into the worldview and allow the culture and the worldview to shape and to form our opinions, you need to seriously ask, why am I staying under that teaching? I got a little more to say about that. But I guess it's going to have to wait till next week. I'll say this to close. If the Bible called it sin in the first century, it's still sin in the 21st. Just because we got smarter and we got progressive, we got enlightened, doesn't mean the Word of God is not relevant or true or to be applied today. When he said put on Christ in the first century, he meant for the 21st century to put on Christ also. And it means to walk away from who we used to be outside of Christ. That's what putting on Christ means. Now I'll quit. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and love. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for being so patient with us. Help us, Lord, to do precisely what the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome. Cast off all the works of darkness, make no provision for the flesh, and put on Christ. Help us with that, Father, I pray. Not so that we think we're better than somebody else, but simply to be obedient to the Word of God. Spirit of God, show us. Show us, beginning with me, where there are things that we need to step away from because they're contrary to what your will is. Show us how to put on Christ. Help us, Father, to be Spirit-led people, loving you with such intensity that love shows in our behaviors, our language, our loving our neighbors. Help us, Father, today, tomorrow, this week, and in life to put on Christ. Go with each and every one here today. Be with those watching on Facebook Live. Strengthen them for the journey. Empower them by your Spirit to say no to the works of the flesh and yes to the work of the Spirit. Guide us this week as we minister to more families that have lost their loved ones. be glorified in your church today, tomorrow, and always. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.